South Dakota Public Broadcasting, sdpb.org.
Affairs Committee will please come to order. We would like to welcome everyone that's here with us in person today or listening via the internet, reminding everyone that this is a public meeting and is being broadcast live over the internet and will be archived for future reference there. Also want to remind a couple important rules, remind everyone now is the time to make sure your cell phone is in the off or vibrate position so we don't have donuts that we all, many of us certainly don't need any more donuts. And also, if you're going to testify today, please register at the back of the room, as you see the gentleman doing right there. Anyone who's representing an organization will be required to have a lobbyist badge on if they choose to testify. With that, I would ask the secretary to please call the roll.
Representative Boomgarten.
Here.
Ingalls.
Here.
Feinstein.
Here.
Gosch.
Here.
Hunhoff.
Here.
Lucas.
Here.
Lust.
Here.
Rausch.
Here.
Rave.
Here.
Steele.
Here.
Turberville.
Here.
Noam.
Here.
Fain.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have the quorum.
At this point, the chair would entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the previous meeting. Motion by Turberville, second by Lucas. Any comments on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. With that, we will open proponent testimony on Senate Bill 57 to allow the use of energy efficiency and conservation to count towards the state's renewable and recycled energy objectives. Senate Bill 57, are there any proponents? Good morning, Commissioner.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Steve Kolbeck, and I am a commissioner with the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission. My comments here today are supported by my colleagues Dusty Johnson and Gary Hansen. Last year, as you know, the legislature created a renewable and recycled energy objective, setting the goal at 10% of our state's electricity to come from renewable and recycled resources. This year we introduced Senate Bill 57. It was created to add conserved energy as a third way to meet the 10% voluntary objective. The PUC believes energy efficiency should be encouraged in the same way renewable energy currently is. Energy efficiency contributes to economic and environmental perspectives. It is as attractive as wind or other renewable energy sources. In the interest of fairness, we feel energy efficiency should be viewed in the same light. 13 other states currently include energy efficiency in their RPS or renewable goals. Energy efficiency and conservation programs may also provide an opportunity for utilities to reduce costs. Measurably lowering of customer consumption becomes a valuable and additional generation with no harmful accompanying pollution. I would like to point out that these programs, these energy efficiency programs, do not come at a no-cost option to electricity providers. Education of consumers about energy efficiency takes time, materials, other resources, just as building a wind turbine or a methane digester does. However, we feel the net gain to consumer rates will be in the positive. And finally, please note that the bill also changes the timelines for filing reports regarding a provider's progress. The timelines are changed so that the provider can use the calendar year as a basis for the report. This puts South Dakota in line with most states in the region, which makes reporting easier for our multi-state utilities. I thank you for your time here this morning, Mr. Chairman, and I hope that you can support Senate Bill 57.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. Any further proponents? Good morning, Karnak.
Morning, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, Steve Willard, the executive director of the Electric Utility Companies, and I'll give you my second response, I guess, to that. This is an easy one for us. We've had so much luck trying to build Big Stone that as we continue to look for other options and continue to try to assimilate green energy into the equation, because of the line that I have learned is profoundly true, that the cheapest power plant you can build is one that you don't have to. And conservation allows us to do that. Most studies, they're all over the map, but most studies will tell you that the way to get to energy efficiency, that between 30% and 40% of the gain is going to be on the conservation side of the equation. Renewables is all kind of amorphous. It's kind of hard to get your arms around, but conservation is something that everybody understands. And conservation is an opportunity to make us personal when conservation is an opportunity for businesses and individuals to save money, conservation is probably the best part of the renewable energy objective. It doesn't make it automatic. Excuse me. If you look in the bill lines 10 and 11, the nut to this deal is that we're going to have to define the methods, and that won't be easy because you have to begin you have to define a beginning and an ending point, and that's a challenge. But that's a challenge that we look forward to. It's a challenge that's in the state's best interest. This essentially allows us to grab what we characterize as the low-hanging fruit and allows us to make conservation and energy efficiency and renewable energy personal for all the businesses and the people of the state, and that's a good place for this legislature to be. It's a good place for utility companies to be. We congratulate the Utilities Commission for bringing it, and we're looking forward to working with them this summer once this bill becomes law. So thanks very much.
Thank you. Further proponents? Are there any further proponents to Senate Bill 57? Seeing none, are there any opponents? Any opponents to Senate Bill 57? Seeing none, we'll waive rebuttal and move to questions from the committee. Are there any questions from the committee members? Representative Lust.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for Commissioner Kolbeck.
Mr. Chairman.
I see in the bill that you envision rulemaking authority to measure the conservation. Do you have any ideas right now how you're going to measure the conservation?
Right now, that will be determined in the rulemaking process. We'll have to go through, and I have our staff attorney, Rolaine Wiest, who can come up and comment on how the measurements will take place. If you'd like to, we can discuss rulemaking process, or are you talking about how we're going to take a company and say they have 6%, 3%, or 2%?
Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I'm not interested in the rulemaking process. I sit on rules review. I'm familiar with that. I want to know how you envision measuring what energy has been conserved to get to this 10% objective.
And as I said, that'll have to be done through a rulemaking process. And what we'll do is we'll work with the companies to come up with a valid source of how we'll measure that. I can't give you a specific way of how we'll measure that. Now, Commissioner Hansen may want to comment also.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. My name is Rolaine Wiest. I'm attorney with the Public Utilities Commission. I think there are different formulas that the commission can use to measure that. The one that I am aware of is called the participant test. You try to measure the net present value of the benefits to the participants minus the net present value of the cost to participants. And so what we anticipate doing is we look at the other states, and there are a few different methods that we're aware of. And so we're going to be looking into all of those methods and obviously getting feedback from the utilities to see what they would prefer to.
Further questions from the committee?
Seeing none. I apologize. I screwed that question up pretty badly. Representative Lust.
Not a problem. Thank you. We'll close the public testimony section and move to committee comment and or action. Any comment or action from the committee members? Representative Engels.
Move to pass.
Second.
Motion by Engels, second by Noem, do pass on Senate Bill 57. Any further comments, Representative Engels? Further comments from any other members of the committee? Representative Feinstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess my comment here is I just hope that I hope we can do this with the rules process and or make sure that we as a body here, I think, have to come back and understand and know and see exactly what and how we measure this concept of conserved energy. And because in light of what we passed last year and other energy proposals that are out there, I think it's important that maybe goes beyond rules and does get codified at some point. And I think it could make sense, but I think we have to move forward on this. It's a step in the right direction, but don't necessarily leave us out. I think it's an important thing to maybe make more permanent. Thank you.
Any further comments? Seeing none, this is a roll call vote. The motion before us is due pass on Senate Bill 57. All in favor of the motion will signify by saying aye. All opposed will say no. The secretary will please call the roll.
Representatives Boomgarden?
Aye.
Ingalls?
Aye.
Feinstein?
Aye.
Gosch?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Lucas?
Aye.
Lust?
Aye.
Rausch?
Aye.
Rave?
Aye.
Steele?
Aye.
Turberville?
Aye.
Noem?
Aye.
Fain?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, the vote is unanimous.
Senate Bill 57 will be sent to the House floor with the due pass recommendation. Sure. Representative Rausch.
I move consent.
Consent moved and second. Any opposition to consent? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Senate Bill 57 will be sent to the House floor on the consent calendar. With that, we'll entertain proponents for Senate Bill 41 to revise the definition of wind easements. Are there any proponents for Senate Bill 41? Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Hunter Roberts, the Department of Tourism and State Development. The department at this time would ask you to table Senate Bill 41. As I'm sure you all know, there's a lot of issues with wind energy development in South Dakota. This is one of the issues. We have a group of stakeholders committed to working on this summer and coming with comprehensive legislation next year. So please table the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any other quasi-proponents? Any opponents to Senate Bill 41? Seeing none, we'll move to committee questions. Seeing none, we'll move to committee comments and or action. Representative Rausch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll move to table Senate Bill 41.
Motion by Rausch, second by Rave to table Senate Bill 41. Any further comments? Seeing none, that is a non-debatable motion. You're correct. Seeing none, the motion is to table Senate Bill 41. All in favor will say aye. All opposed will say no. The secretary will please call the roll.
Representative Boomgarden.
Aye.
Ingalls.
Aye.
Feinstein.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Lucas?
Aye.
Lust?
Aye.
Rausch?
Aye.
Rave?
Aye.
Steele?
Aye.
Turberville?
Aye.
Noem?
Aye.
Fain?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, the vote is unanimous.
Senate Bill 41 is hereby tabled. With that, we'll open to proponent testimony on Senate Bill 58 to require notification regarding the construction of certain wind energy projects. Are there any proponents for Senate Bill 58? Good morning, Commissioner.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen of the committee, my name is Gary Hansen. I am a member of the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission. My remarks on Senate Bill 58 are supported by my fellow commissioners. Senate Bill 58 requires anyone who is planning to construct a wind turbine project of over 5 megawatts to notify the Public Utilities Commission 4 months prior to construction. This is for informational purposes only. It provides nothing pertaining to a siting provision. Projects of 100 megawatts or greater still go through the siting process. We are not asking for a siting process on this. Notification would be beneficial for transmission planning purposes. I serve on the organization of MISO states, which is MISO is a regional transmission organization for 14 states and a Canadian province. Also serve on the UMTDI, the Upper Midwest Transmission Development Initiative. And those organizations are involved in overcoming the challenges of transmission for the state of South Dakota as well as for the region. The knowledge of planned wind projects would assist the commission and these other organizations in order to go through the process and know what is actually in the queue and what is actually being planned. Most projects certainly know well in advance of 4 months when they're going to do their construction. I'd be available for any questions that you have. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. Further proponents? Are there any further proponents for Senate Bill 58? Seeing none, are there any opponents? Any opponents to Senate Bill 58? Seeing none, We'll close public testimony and open to question, or not public testimony, we'll open to questions from the committee. Any questions? Representative Lucas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A question for Commissioner. Yeah, Commissioner Hansen, what's the penalty or consequence if somebody forgets or for whatever reason they just it just doesn't get done in a four-month period?
Mr. Chairman, that's an excellent question. I asked myself that last night, and I wasn't able to chat with our counsel, but I'm not certain what penalty that there is. Give me an opportunity to not answer your question. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, we actually had discussed whether to put in an actual penalty. At this point, we decided that we wouldn't put in a penalty, and we're going to see how well the people were actually participating in it. We do have some sort of general authority, but at this point, we don't have any specific.
For the questions from the committee, Representative Lust.
Thank you. I have a question for Commissioner Hansen. Commissioner, is there a mechanism in place right now whereby counties have to inform the PUC of wind projects?
Mr. Chairman, no. Excuse me, Representative Lust. No, there's not.
Follow up. Is there any way to build a wind project in South Dakota without county approval?
If the Representative Lust, if the county does not have regulations in place, then such as zoning regulations or something of that nature, then a wind developer, to my knowledge, would be able to construct that. But I don't know of a wind developer that would go through that process without at least chatting with the county, with municipalities in the area.
Yeah. Thank you.
Further questions from the committee? Seeing none, thank you, Commissioner. We're close to committee comment and or action. Any comment from the committee? Representative, I thought you wanted to talk. Representative Noem.
Mr. Chair, I'd move do pass.
Motion by Noem, second by Roush, do pass on Senate Bill 58. Any further comment?
Just a couple. I appreciate this bill because in several other bills that came up this year, notification process was a question and how well we communicated on some of these projects. And it also came up on some of the filing fees and different things like that. So I appreciate this. I think that this will help, and I'd ask that you support the motion.
Any further comment from the committee? Seeing none, the motion before us is do pass on Senate Bill 58. This is a roll call vote. All in favor will say aye. All opposed will say no. The secretary will please call the roll.
Representative Boomgarden.
Aye.
Ingalls.
Aye.
Feinstein.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Lust.
Aye.
Roush.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Steele.
Aye.
Turbeville.
Aye.
Noem.
Aye.
Fain.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, the vote is unanimous.
Senate Bill 58 will be sent to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. Motion by Gosch, second by Roush, consent on Senate Bill 58. Any comments? Seeing none, this is a voice vote. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate Bill 58 will go to the House floor on the consent calendar with a due pass recommendation. With that, we'll continue PUC Day at State Affairs with Senate Bill 59 to revise certain provisions regarding the amount of filing fees for the siting of energy facilities. Are there any proponents for Senate Bill 59? Good morning.
Good morning. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Rolaine Wiest. I'm attorney with the Public Utilities Commission. With Senate Bill 59, I'd just like to start out by saying what it does not do. It does not increase the amount that the commission can assess for our filing fee. What it does do is it tries to clarify that amount. Our filing fee applies to any person seeking approval for construction of energy facilities such as wind facilities, pipelines, natural gas, or coal plants. So if you go to the sentence beginning at line 12 on the first page, this sentence sets forth the maximum amount of our fee. And the first part of the sentence provides that the fee may not exceed 0.25% of the first $100 million. And the second part of the sentence goes on to say, and the fee may not exceed 0.125% of the additional estimated cost. We have always interpreted this to mean that the fee may not exceed 0.25% of the first $100 million plus 0.125% of the additional cost. However, as the statute currently exists, we think that somebody could argue that it should be limited to the lower of the two calculations. And we don't think that this is the correct interpretation, because it could be conceivable that if you have a plant that's over $100 million and it was just a few thousand dollars over it, then you would just be limited to 1/20th of 1% of that, of those few thousand dollars. So what the bill does is we clarify this by adding in the word plus and limiting the words and may not exceed. And we do that on this page and on the second page also. And for your one example to show that the cost will not change, Big Stone 2, the estimated costs were $1 billion. Under the formula, the commission could have assessed up to $700,000. We actually assessed $214,000. And if another $1 billion project was filed after July 1st, again, we could only assess up to $700,000. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents? Are there any further proponents for Senate Bill 59? Seeing none, are there any opponents? Any opponents to Senate Bill 59? Seeing none, we will close testimony and move to committee questions. Are there any questions from the committee members? Seeing none, we'll move to committee comment and or action. Any comments from the committee? Representative Feinstein.
I move to pass.
Motion by Feinstein, second by Turpeville, do pass on Senate Bill 59. Any further comments, Representative Feinstein?
I guess when I read the bill last night, I see what the proponents are going for, and I think it does remove an ambiguity. I was sitting there saying, why is it here? And I think it does straighten up this little bit of language, and I think it's a good bill.
Further comments? Seeing none, the motion before us is do pass on Senate Bill 59. This is a roll call vote. All in favor will say aye. All opposed will say no. The Secretary will please call the roll.
Representative Boomgarten?
Aye.
Ingalls?
Aye.
Feinstein?
Aye.
Gosch?
Aye.
Hunhoff? Lucas?
Aye.
Lust?
Aye.
Rausch?
Aye.
Rave?
Aye.
Steele?
Aye.
Turville?
Aye.
Noem?
Aye.
Fain?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, the vote is unanimous.
Senate Bill 59. We'll go to the House floor with a do-pass recommendation. Motion by Feinstein for consent. Second by Turbeville for the comments. Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Senate Bill 59 will go to the House floor on the consent calendar with a do-pass recommendation. With that, we'll open proponent testimony on Senate Bill 60 to authorize the Public Utilities Commission to implement and comply with certain federal energy acts. Any proponents for Senate Bill 60? Good morning.
Good morning. Elaine Wiest with the PUC. Senate Bill 60 seeks to give the Commission explicit authority to implement the Federal Energy Independence and Security Act of 2007. Among many other provisions in that act, that new federal act adds new standards to the Public Utilities Regulatory Policies Act of 1978, which is commonly referred to as PURPA. This bill adds four new PURPA standards. And with this, as with this 2005 standards that we implemented, these would only apply to South Dakota's investor-owned utilities. Other utilities such as cooperatives and municipals, they are required to actually consider the standards on their own. So the new standards are listed on page 2, beginning on line 8. Subdivision 5 concerns energy efficiency. If adopted by the commission, the standard would require a public utility to integrate energy efficiency resources into its planning processes. The standard contained in subdivision 6 also addresses energy efficiency, but this is targeted at the utility's rates. If adopted, this standard would allow the public utility's rates to align utility incentives with the delivery of energy efficiency and hopefully promote energy efficiency investment. What the standard addresses is the issue as to whether utilities' earnings should be decoupled from rates or whether other programs should be implemented that would, well, the hope is give the utility an incentive to promote energy efficiency. The remaining two standards, 7 and 8, relate to smart grids. Subdivision 7 would require that prior to investing in non-advanced grid technologies, a public utility would be required to consider investing in smart grid system. And subdivision 8 is also related. It would require public utilities to provide smart grid information regarding electricity prices, usage, and sources of power. to customers. One example of this would be smart meters. Smart meters that allow price signals to be sent to consumers if the price of electricity fluctuates during the day. And for a quick example of a smart grid, some things that a smart grid can do is it can screen power outages, manage supply and demand, hopefully avert trouble spots. It might be able to reroute power. And if the network were to become overburdened, it could even send signals to the grid operators and to the end users and hopefully curtail consumption to prevent blackouts. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Further proponents? Any further proponents for Senate Bill 60? Seeing none, are there any opponents? Any opponents for Senate Bill 60? Seeing none, we'll open to questions from the committee. Are there any questions from committee members? Seeing none, we'll close to committee comment and or action. Any comments from the committee? Representative Turbeville.
I move to pass on Senate Bill 60.
Motion by Turbeville, second by Roush, do pass on Senate Bill 60. Any further comments? Seeing none, roll call vote. All in favor of the motion will say aye. All opposed will say no. The secretary will please call the roll.
Representative Boomgarden.
Aye.
Ingalls.
Aye.
Feinstein.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Hunhoff. Lucas.
Aye.
Lust.
Aye.
Roush.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Steele.
Aye.
Turbeville.
Aye.
Noam.
Aye.
Fain.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, the vote is unanimous.
Senate Bill 60 will be sent to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. Representative Turbeville. Motion by Turbeville, second by Hunhoff to send Senate Bill 60 to the House floor on the consent calendar. Any further comments? Seeing none, voice vote. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Senate Bill 60 will be sent to the House floor on the consent calendar with a due pass recommendation. With that, we'll open to proponent testimony for Senate Bill 62 to repeal certain provisions regarding the delegation of powers by the Public Utilities Commission. Are there any proponents for Senate Bill 62?
Good morning again. Relaine Weiss with the PUC. With Senate Bill 62, the commission is seeking to repeal 49-1-17, and this statute makes it a Class 2 misdemeanor for the PUC to delegate its powers or authorities to any other person unless we have been given express authority. I did search through our other state statutes, and I could have missed it, but I was unaware of any other agencies that have a similar statute that actually makes it a crime to delegate its powers. And I would also like to emphasize that this would not mean that the commission would then be able to delegate its powers in violation of its statutory authority. What would happen is that if someone had claimed that the commission had delegated its powers, the court could still find that there was an impermissible delegation. And what the court would do, it would look at the commission's existing statutory authority in order to determine that. The only case that we're aware of where the PUC was found to have unlawfully delegated its authority was in the Mandan case in 1984. And in that case, the federal court found that the PUC unlawfully delegated its authority when allowed landowners to choose among different topsoil procedures. It's just our opinion that this is not the type of activity that should be subject to criminal penalties. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. For the proponents. Any further proponents for Senate Bill 62? Seeing none, are there any opponents? Any opponents for Senate Bill 62? Seeing none, we'll open to questions from the committee. Any questions from committee members? Seeing none, we'll close to committee comment and or action. Any comment from the committee? Representative Roush.
I move due pass on Senate Bill 62.
Motion by Roush, second by Gosch. Due pass on Senate Bill 62. Further comments? Seeing none, this is a roll call vote. All in favor of the motion will signify by saying aye. All opposed will say no. The secretary will please call the roll.
Representative Boomgarden.
Aye.
Ingalls.
Aye.
Feinstein.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Lust.
Aye.
Roush.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Steele.
Aye.
Turbeville.
Aye.
Noam.
Aye.
Fain.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, the vote is unanimous.
Senate Bill 62 will be sent to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. Representative Roush.
I move consent.
Second.
Motion by Roush, second by Gosch. Consent on Senate Bill 62. Comments? Seeing none, this is a voice vote. All in favor will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Senate Bill 62 will go to the House floor on the consent calendar with a due pass recommendation. Before we move any further, I'd like to acknowledge a distinguished guest with us today. Would the committee please welcome back former Senator J.P. Dunnifan. Welcome back, Senator. Also like to remind committee members that we will not be meeting on Friday. Our next and final scheduled State Affairs Committee will be on Monday morning, and I'd ask you ahead of time to please also consider for that meeting if there are any issues that you'd like to raise for possible summer study projects. We would listen to them at that time and potentially turn them into the e-board for further deliberation. Any further comment from the committee before we motion by Roush to adjourn, second by Gosh, and comments? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. We are adjourned.